Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Yasagone, Will Bluewater, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
We're speaking from the Wolf Clan Teaching Lodge, located on the Cattaraugus Indian Reservation. It's about 25 miles from Buffalo, New York, following the lake known as Lake Erie. The Cattaraugus Reservation is one of the two reservations where the Senecas live. The other reservation is Allegheny. We're going to be talking about the things that we do at the Wolf Clan Teaching Lodge. The Wolf Clan of the Senecas is the clan that are known as the Trailblazers. These wolves, years and years ago, had been teaching the ancient Senecas how to live in harmony with nature and how to walk with all the other creatures on this great earth plane. This earth plane, to our people, was called Turtle Island. For seven generations, this particular family have been teaching the wisdom, prophecy, and philosophy of the Senecas. This has been handed down by word of mouth, or as we know today as oral tradition. In this oral tradition were songs, dances, legends, stories, and experiences of our ancestors. The important thing is to help people understand our connection to our Earth Mother and how we should honor all the creatures of this earth. Perhaps the most important thought is that all people, all creatures, all manifestations on this earth belong to one universal family. In other words, we are one body, one heart, one mind, and one spirit. All things are equal. Human beings have no dominion over any of the other creatures on this earth. In fact, human beings could not exist if it were not for all the other creatures. This is a great interrelationship, and we love it because we are part of this great whole. We cannot in any way be separated from it. It happens that the voice that you are hearing belongs to Uanode, meaning she's whose voice rides on the winds. The voice is an echo, echoing the wisdom, prophecy, and philosophy of our people. I believe that at this time it would be appropriate to speak about how all things began, as we understand it, at the Wolf Clan Teaching Lodge. There are many, many ideas where all things began, and who really knows whether they are right or whether they are wrong. But we like to look at things, since they are here and we can see them, that there was at some time a beginning place. Our children would ask questions that the elders, who were the teachers, couldn't often answer. And the elders, being very creative people, would answer the best way they could. Perhaps the first question was, who am I? The second might have been, where did I come from? And the third, what are my purposes in this life? And the fourth, how will I be remembered after I'm gone? To answer the first question, who am I? There is a story connected with this. Many long years ago, before there was time, place, or even human beings, there was a great mystery in eternal space. This great mystery had a great mind, a great heart, a great spirit. But we do not know what kind of a body this great mystery had. So the ancient people said that they saw the body of the great mystery in everything that They tasted, they touched, they breathed, they saw, they listened to, or they smelled. All these things were part of this great mystery. It happened that, the story continues, the great mystery created all things and also created a place of great beauty. And all these things that were created were placed in this place of great beauty. It happened that all these creations were also gifts of great beauty. And the great mystery endowed them with sound, sight, taste, touch, emotion, awareness, and also endowed these manifestations with faith, love, intuition, will, creativity, magnetism, and gratitude. All these manifestations were grateful for these gifts. But it happened that the great mystery realized that all these things that had been created were only receivers. In order that there might be givers as well as receivers, the great mystery divided all these creations into male and female so that they could be givers as well as receivers through exchanging and sharing their gifts with others. This worked out so well, the male and the female, giving and receiving and receiving and giving, that these creations decided that it was so much fun that maybe they should be giving, if they were males, to males, and receiving from males. And the female thought, this works so well, we will do the same. And the Creator was so happy that these creations were sharing so much within each other. As time went on, the creations were growing. They were reaching out through their sound, through their sight, through their scent, through their tasting and through their touching. Then a great gift was received, that of feeling. And this feeling came through emotion. And after receiving this great gift of feeling, they became aware of a truth. And this was the greatest gift, to learn the truth. The great mystery had all these creations sharing and giving with each other. And it was a beautiful world. It happened that with this growing and growing and growing, these creations began to get larger and larger. And the great mystery decided, another gift must be received. And this gift was time. After time was born, things could be measured into their growth patterns. There is a legend that has been told and passed down through the Wolf Clan that all the creatures originally lived in the water. And they received all the nourishment they needed to grow from the great mystery. And before time was born, these creations were growing and growing into enormous sizes. And the water became so filled that there was scarcely space for all these creatures to live. So they began to push above the water, and they came into a place where it was cold because the water kept them warm. And these first creations were the stones and the rocks and the land that pushed up into mountains and the rocks that pushed up high, high into these cold places. And then the Creator made another beautiful manifestation that were clouds, we call them. And they floated up over the high mountains and the hills. And this became another great gift of beauty. There were some small creatures that we would like to focus our thoughts upon. When they pushed out of the water, their skin was cold, and they shivered. And when they tried to get back into the water, there was no place for them. So they huddled together, wondering what next to do.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now, folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now, folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
They looked up into the sky and they saw these nice, warm, fluffy clouds. And they thought, let's cover ourselves with those warm-looking clouds. The next thing they did was start to climb the hills. And then they looked at the mountains. And they began to climb higher and higher. Finally, they came to the place where the clouds were living. And it was colder than ever. And these creatures shivered with pain. Presently, they heard a voice. And the voice said, eat the seeds in the clouds and see what happens. So these creatures began to eat the seeds in the clouds. And presently, their skins began to sprout feathers. They were so overjoyed that they jumped up and down. And as they jumped, they went down and down into the place where they had first come from. And when their other friends were standing there and saw the strange coats that these creatures were wearing, they asked, where did you get those coats? And they said, from the clouds up above those great hills and the rocks. And they said, we want some too. How do we get these feathers? And the creatures showed how overjoyed they were, and they began to jump up and down. And as they jumped up and down, they found that they could land into these high plants that we call trees. Follow us, they said, and we'll show you how we receive these feather coats. There was a long stream of these cold creatures following the feathered ones up to the high mountains. And they told them to eat the seeds. And sure enough, they sprouted feathers. And they had such a beautiful time, and they were so nice and warm. And they began to practice their jumping up and down, and found that they could land with their feathers, that they could land in the high trees. And then finally they could jump from one tree to another. And this was a beautiful, beautiful life that they were leaving. There were still some of those creatures down where they came from the water. And they were very, very cold. And they were waiting for the feathered friends to come down and show them how they too could get coats. But the feathered friends forgot about their brothers and sisters who were suffering with cold. Finally, two very, very old, feathered, unfeathered creatures reached the place where the clouds were. And they said, "You have forgotten us. And there are others down there who are cold. Please have enough love for us to bring the clouds to us or whatever can happen to make us warm." And one of the feathered creatures said, "Maybe we can do something about that." In that moment, a voice spoke out and said, "Get on top of the clouds. And when the cloud becomes heavy, it will move down to where the other creatures are." So all the feathered creatures jumped on the clouds, and sure enough, the cloud began to move down and down and down until it reached the bottom of the mountains. And all the creatures were waiting for this wonderful happening to occur. Promptly, they began to eat the seeds from the clouds. And when the seeds were all eaten, the cloud had disappeared. From that day on, these feathered creatures were called birds. And we know that they came from the water, because they still have scales on their legs and their feet. This story has a wonderful lesson connected within its meaning. First of all, we know that these were our ancestors. And to this day, we want our spirit to fly high and free. Also, we are always looking for places where we can live and keep warm. Another lesson from this is that because these birds were our ancestors, and because they had free spirits, we too want to soar high into the heavens, above all the mountains, above all the clouds, to have wishes that we may someday achieve. And the wishes help us to grow into what we want to be. So it's the ancestors, our bird ancestors, that we are so grateful for having taught us how to keep warm, how to have concern for others, how to jump up and down and laugh with joy, and how to become one with all others, believing that all is for one and one is for all. Danijo. The teachings of the Wolf Clan began at the time this home site was established, that is, for my generation. As a small child, It was the habit of my family to sit on the front porch and watch the sun descend in all its brilliant glory to rest for the night. My grandfather would sit on the right, my grandmother on the left, and I would sit between them on the floor. My grandfather Moses Shango, who was last of the medicine people of the Senecas, always began his thoughts with, long before there was time, place, or even human beings, the great mystery was an infinite space. As a child, my thoughts were centered upon this beautiful person, and my ears listened to every word he said. My eyes focused upon his loving face, and looking at the deep pools in his ever-loving eyes, I hung on to his every word. He would take a deep breath before he began, always in reverence. He looked skyward, as if waiting to find a clue for whatever would be spoken to his young granddaughter. On this particular night, he said, "I believe it's time you knew about where we all came from. And I just looked at him because the thought had never entered into my mind. After a long silence, he began, "Up there in infinite space, in a place that is very sacred, we don't know just exactly where this place is, but it is a place where all things are perfect. In this place are huge circles, and they are so full of energy that they are rolling and rolling and rolling. And maybe sometimes we hear them, but we're not sure. But they rumble along out in this special space. They are round, and they have all kinds of colors. We might call them the rainbow colors, for these colors are represented in faith, in love, in intuition, in will, in creativity, in magnetism, and in gratitude. Also, these circles have gifts, the gift of sound, sight, scent, taste, touch, emotion, and awareness. All these beautiful gifts are in this very, very round, energized circle. Some people call them souls, but we call them sacred cycles or spirited energy. Now, these spirited energies have all the gifts, all the abilities that are needed to live. They lack one thing, and that is to reach out and touch. In order for these spirited energies to reach out and touch, they have to enter into other bodies. Now, these other bodies are the bodies that are connected to the earth. They can touch, but they cannot feel. It is only the spirited energy that have this magnificent gift of feeling.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
The earthbound bodies have a gift that we might call the ego. And this ego only wants and wants and wants and wants. It doesn't care how it gets, just so long as it gets what it wants. The spirited energies cannot touch, so they enter into these earthbound bodies to learn how to touch. And at the same time, the earthbound bodies can experience feeling. Each spirited entity selects two earthbound bodies, a male and a female. And when they touch together, the spirited energy can enter in to the female of the earthbound body. This is a gift of beauty that is manifested between the male and female of the earthbound body. The moment this gift has been manifested, the spirited energy feels, it sees, it hears, it smells, it tastes, and it touches. It also has emotion, and it has awareness. The passageway in to the earthbound body is dark. And the spirited energy is seeking light. And for a certain length of time, the spirited energy is experiencing feelings of growth within this earthbound body. And when the time is right, the spirited energy begins to leave the earthbound body and is born into the light and breathes the great beautiful gift, the breath of light. It is the breath of life that allows the spirited energy to live in this earth. And this is where the earthbound body comes from. The next question is, why am I here? The answer to this question is that we are here to learn lessons of reaching out to touch. Sometimes we touch things that are joyful. And this is a gift of beauty because it's one of truth. Other times we are seeking truth. And sometimes as we seek this truth, we feel discomfort. So our mission, as we call it, is to learn the truth. And after we learn the truth, we honor what we have learned. And after honoring and learning, we then begin to practice what we have learned by accepting the truth. We have many actions, and these actions are always based on what we want to learn in relation to truth. So we look throughout our lives. We look wherever we are. We are seeking the truth. In addition to this, our ears begin to open, and we listen for the truth. After having learned the truth, having honored it, and practicing what we have learned, seeing the truth and hearing the truth, we begin to speak about the truth. And as we speak the truth, we begin to listen to what others have to say. And these are gifts of beauty because we learn from others by listening. We learn from others as they suggest what we must look at. Then a wonderful feeling enters into our lives. It is a feeling of faith. This feeling is deep within each one of us, and it helps us decide which is the truth according to our feeling and belief, and which is not. After having this faith, we begin to grow, and another wonderful gift comes to that. And through this is love, the language we speak. All nature speaks the language of love. We as human beings have to learn how to speak this very sacred language. After learning the language of love, we then begin to reach out still more by serving our gifts with others. This means that we continue to share with the feeling of love. As we grow, we begin to find ways to live in truth, to speak the truth, to feel the truth within us, and to share what we feel. The next thing that happens to us, as we need to have work, and the work is that of creativity, creating the right thing at the right time, to touch into the gift of magnetism, the gift of attracting and releasing. This is getting into the flow of the universe, the universal rhythm of which we all belong. We attract and we release. We attract and we release. In order for us to grow, we must release what we attract. The next step is that of gratitude. All things are based on our feeling of gratitude. We cannot grow unless we have the feeling of gratitude. Our learning, our understanding through self-awareness is based upon our gratitude. We call this healing. Healing through spirit. The wholeness, the rightness, the truth is manifested in healing. Donahoe. The next question is, why am I here? We ask this question. What is my purpose in life? We are here to learn lessons. These lessons come from the feeling of comfort. We seek comfort in order to learn lessons. Remember that story of keeping warm. The keeping warm is not only having clothing on, it also is housing. It is also being full, having food. And it is also making achievements that help us understand the truth of why we're here. How can we do this? We reach out to make friends with all manifestations within our environment. We are lonesome. We came into this earth walk alone, each of us. And because of this lonesomeness, we seek friends. And it's the friendships that we seek that help us to learn all the things we seek answers. The answers must be truth as we see it and as we feel it to help us understand comfort. In order to be friendly, we need to know who we are, where we came from, and why we're here. These three questions are the basis of our understanding. If we happen to be a male, we soon learn that we have gifts that help us to protect all things, no matter how large or small. If we are a female, we know that we have the gift of reproduction. And that means nourishment. We nourish all things so that they might grow, no matter what it is. We are the nourishers. And we are the protectors, because within both male and female, we have these two characteristics or qualities.
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Among the early Senecas living on the Cattaraugus Indian Reservation and also living throughout the areas west of the reservation, whenever a gathering would occur, these gatherings were called councils. There were many councils. In the teaching lodges, there would be councils. There would be councils for children. There would be councils for men and councils for women. The government was run as a council. The meaning of council was the gathering of minds, talents, and abilities of the people who came together to share in whatever the council was set up to represent. We'll talk first about the Council of the We People. At this particular council, all the relatives of the children, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, would convene to help the children into their first experience of meeting in council. The purpose of the Council of the We People was to introduce the children to the social structure of the Senecas. There were councils, of course, of other nations, But in this particular case, we're talking about the Senecas. This council was set up to help the children learn the importance of listening. Also, the importance of making promises, and that these promises were very, very much a part of Native American life. In this particular council, children would come if they were ready to make promises. They knew what a promise was. They knew that when they came to this particular council, there would be certain promises that they would make. And when this promise was made, it would reflect just what kind of a person these young people wanted to be. It's an interesting fact among the Senecas that the children made their own decision when it was time for them to come to the council. Of course, it was like the first day of school today when the council of the we people would convene. And there was a certain amount of excitement because it was the children's time when all people would focus their eyes upon these youngsters. The parents would not prepare the children in any way except to say that when they did enter into the council ring, they would be expected to sit quietly and to listen to whoever was speaking. Let's make believe that we are part of this council. Perhaps it would be the best way to understand just what happened. As the council ring was complete, the children would sit with their parents. So this would indicate they would perhaps be sitting in their own clan section. As the elder would rise, the children would rise. The rest would remain seated. The elder would ask each one if they were happy. And the children would respond either that they were or that they weren't. If a youngster was there who appeared to be nervous, this would indicate that the child might not be ready to enter into this particular phase of their lives. And the elder would ask, "Would you like to leave?" And the child would respond one way or the other. If the child indicated they wanted to leave, they left at that particular time. However, the rest of the family remained. At no time after that did anyone ask the child, "Well, why did you leave?" Because they honored the wishes of this child. The others who remained were ready to participate in whatever the council presented to them. Each child would ask individually if they were ready to take on some kind of work. At this council, there would be four places indicated that they would visit, the kind of work would be demonstrated to them as they would move from one project to the next. They were told not to select any one particular job or work until they had finished visiting every site. For example, one site would always have various kinds of baskets, different designs, different sizes, so that the youngsters, when they would select their baskets, would represent something in their personality that would blend with the choice they had made. Another kind of work would be that of sorting things into categories. There would only be 4 different categories. These things might be items that could be used for decorating the regalia. These items would be placed in specific spaces, or they would be placed in baskets. But these baskets would be not of anyone's choice other than the place to put these various items. Another job would be collecting herbs of different kinds, which meant that the children would be with a particular person and going out and learning about what was in the outer woods, so to speak. The 4th category would be as a messenger, or to take items from one place and pick up an item from that place and take it to another. For example, a person might have splints, and they would take it to the people who were making baskets, and then they would take the finished baskets to someone else for storage. As the children were introduced to each project, they would decide which one that they liked the best. And when it came time to select the job, they would indicate what they wanted and what they would like to do. This made the children feel that the job selected was one of real choice, and one that they liked the best, and one that they felt that they could do their best work. They would work with this project, and everyone worked. This would be carried on from the morning until noon, when the sun was overhead. At that time, the children would gather before their elders, and they would listen to some stories before they would have free time the rest of the day. Perhaps at some times, a child would not want to do the work, and they would not appear at the designated place, and everyone knew that the child was going to experience a lesson. At this time, no one paid any attention to them as they roamed around the village. Everyone was working. So the child became invisible, we might say. Everyone knew that the child was going to be ignored. When it came time to eat, the child was not fed. And even when it came time to go to bed at night, the doors were not open to the child. Well, it is well understood that the next day the child would appear at the job they were expected to do. No one said anything to them, but the child knew that they had to use self-discipline to keep up the work that they had promised to do. After all, when they were asked which job they preferred, and they selected that job, this was a promise, and they made this promise in the eyes of all others who watched. As time went on, by the time the child was 5 years old, they had progressed from one work project to another and had learned many things. At age 7, among our people, a child had learned to be a part of the society, a major part of the society, in fact, and the work that they did was respected, and self-esteem was the reward for doing work and doing it well. At age 7, the child entered into another council. This council permitted them to select which teaching lodge they wanted to attend. And since there were 8 teaching lodges, the youngster had an opportunity to choose which particular teaching lodge they expected to spend some time. At these lodges, there would be 4 students and 1 teacher. This represents the hand of friendship, the 4 making a complete balance, also meaning life, unity, equality for eternity. And the philosophy then began to come forth in a very pleasant way. The thumb represented the teacher, or in a wider sense, the creator. When the children would enter these lodges, they would talk as, "I am doing this and I am doing that," but not for very long, because it would become a we type of project. 4 different people under 1 teacher. They would go out, and whatever the project would be, or whatever the lesson would be, it would be, "We are doing this." And when this happened, the "we are" made them become one. And this is the greatest philosophy that the Senecas projected: the oneness of all things, that all are equal, and there's the unity, the fact that this goes on forever, and that we are only a small part doing our portion of what needs to be done. These children would move from one teaching lodge to another, where they would learn many lessons. They would, even if they did not start at their own lodge in which they belonged, their only clan, they would move to all the other clans and even visit their own clan again.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And when this had been completed, they would enter their vision quest, which would indicate that it was time for them to graduate, we might say, into being a beginning of a new life. This was, in essence, what the Council of the Wee People and the Younger People was about. Other councils followed, that of the Council of Men and the Council of Women. There was also Councils of the Elders, which was a very sacred kind of council, in which they were the overseers of all the other councils. Those elders were the teachers and were held in high esteem by all the people of each Indian village. The Council of Men meant the same as the Council of the Wee People, except that the men came together with all their gifts and abilities, and they recognized that they were indeed men, regardless of what kind of a profession, so to speak, they followed, those of being warriors or hunters or craftspeople. And in the Council of Men, they were the examples of the younger people, the parents, the fathers, the uncles, the older brothers. It was at this council that the men learned about their intuitive gift and how their intuitive gift helped them walk in harmony within their surroundings. They learned at this council about a certain characteristic that men possess. This characteristic is that men are often impatient. And because of this impatience, they move very fast. And sometimes if this movement, this fast movement, and this very uncomfortable feeling of impatience pushes them into areas that create discomfort. For example, if a man is impatient because someone is not moving as fast as he is, he will become irritable and might even say things that would hurt other people. This feeling is not one of joy. It makes people do things that are not complementary to their image. We say that a man walks his pathway of peace, in which he is using his gifts and his abilities to help him become a whole person. When he walks this pathway, at any time he may be confronted with impatience. The moment he is confronted with this feeling, he stops for a moment, and at this moment, his intuition takes over. He then makes a decision whether he should focus his impatience in a positive direction or follow the negative. When he follows the positive direction, his impatience is guided by his intuitive gift, and he understands why he is impatient, and he seeks the reason and gives a proper direction for positive growth. When he continues on this path of intuitively guiding his impatience, it forms a circle, and his lessons are all positive, and the circle comes back to the beginning place, and his awareness has been enriched, and he can start out on another path of learning. However, when his impatience has been ignored, and he does not focus upon balancing this intuitive sense with that of the impatience, he becomes irritable. He hurts people. He often becomes physical. And he follows this path of developing a characteristic and also qualities in his character that are unfocused, and he becomes out of control. He'll walk this circle, this negative circle, and come back to the beginning just as the other direction. And at this time, he may realize the folly of what impatience has caused in his life, and can begin anew and have another chance, so to speak. But if not, this characteristic becomes part of his nature, and he is not a very happy person, nor is he one that anyone wants to be connected with in any way. When these men get together, they talk as brothers, fathers, sons, all as one, extensions of each other, and the unity of their spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience for these men to know that others think as they do, and that they have lacks and limitations that need to be guided, and that they can help each other whenever necessary. Each person is developing the image they want to be. But if impatience mars this image, there's always others who can help, who can be good examples at the time that the man, during his impatience, can see that there is another direction that he can take. And then he can focus upon this direction only through his intuitive gift. And the more he uses his intuitive gift, the more he develops into the person he wants to be. At the Council of the Men, they also learn about their role in connection with others, their children, their brothers and sisters, their wives, and also learn how they can adjust or adapt in a pleasant way to becoming a whole person. In like manner, the Council of Women bring their gifts and their abilities. They carry all these things within their hearts, and they gather as women. At these councils, children, female children from 7 up, attend, because it's important that these young people have role models to follow. This also is true of the men, 7 up. When these women gather, they learn about suspicion, which is the door to intuition. When a woman becomes suspicious of something, she also knows at that point that her intuitive gift has made itself present. At that time, she can focus her suspicion in a positive direction and learn through this suspicion that she can grow and direct her energies into that which she wants to be. If she ignores this intuitive gift, she can spin off unthinkingly into the wrong direction and become the kind of person that no one wants to be with, because it is an avenue of fear that she is then beginning to travel. And the suspicion can become almost like a disease. And it destroys not only the person who is suffering of a suspicious nature, it can also destroy those around her. And people do not want to be with a suspicious person. They feel uncomfortable in the presence of this very strange feeling. The expression is mirrored on the person's face and also in their actions. The Council of Women, like the Council of Men, help each other to grow into a positive direction. A great deal of time is spent on defining what suspicion is and how it can be directed at the point where it is first felt. Suspicion is not as energetic, so to speak, as impatience, but it can be very destroying because it is not so well seen. A suspicious person can sort of slink behind others and hide, whereas impatience is right out there. It is seen immediately. the body reflects these two characteristics. Women as well as men have impatience and suspicion. In the men, the impatience is stronger, whereas in the women, the suspicion is stronger. A person who is impatient can also develop suspicious attitudes. Likewise, a person who is suspicious can develop impatient attitudes. It's the attitude that can be changed, and we change these attitudes through our intuitive gift. This is what the councils are all about, to help people develop into what they want to be, to help them see characteristics and qualities that can be erased and given a person a chance to develop fine qualities in character. The elders would meet in council as overseers. Many could help to be present in both councils. In fact, in all the councils, the elders were always there as the teachers. And for this reason, they were respected. Everyone wanted to reach the time when they could be considered as being an elder. The interesting thing is that an elder would not say, "I am an elder of a particular council," because this was not part of their role. They would only be asked by the council members to be present. It was then an honor. So what we're saying is that there was not labeling as much as the labeling that we encounter in this present day society. In speaking of impatience and suspicion, these words might seem difficult to the people of today because of their very negative identification. It is important to take a negative word or a negative feeling and to direct it into a positive state so that it becomes both negative and positive and creates a balance. And when this balance is created, we indeed find that negative people are people who suffer fears. And oftentimes, because of these fears, they develop a big ego. And we call them carrying big heads. And those heads become very, very heavy. Also, people who have the tendency of being impatient and suspicion often have shadows that they have developed. And these shadows follow them around. And they become fearful, frightened. So we say, become acquainted with the shadows that we have made and make them our friends. Each council among our people were councils in which friends came to meet. Dāneho Nyāwiswaniyo.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Kind again, let the wind blow. Thank you.